And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Command the children of Israel that they bring unto thee pure oil olive, beaten for the light, to cause the lamps to burn continually in the tabernacle of the congregation. And it shall be a statute forever in your generation.
The Eternal Light. National Broadcasting Company and its affiliated independent stations make free time available to present The Eternal Light, a program which comes to you under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. Today's program, The Broken Sabbath of Rabbi Asher, was written by Morton Wichengrad and is based on an old folk tale.
I believe it was on a Wednesday afternoon when the world had not entirely lost its innocence. Rabbi Asher of Yanov forgot the day of the week. The consequences were altogether remarkable. It began with the utmost simplicity. Rabbi Asher merely said,
Teamster, are you able to take me to Lizensk and back?
A perfectly straightforward question. And the teamster gave a perfectly straightforward answer.
I am Rabbi Asher, but can you afford it?
By a rare coincidence, Rabbi Asher happened to have the necessary 4 rubles. And so he was driven from Yanov to Lizensk. Now, what was his business in Lizensk? It was to be present at the wedding of his youngest sister's grandchild. So he attended the wedding, which was a good deed.
We see you so rarely, Rabbi Asher. Won't you remain in Lizensk over the Sabbath?
Thank you very much, but I promised my congregation that I would be with them at services as usual. I'm afraid we must be going.
And so, many, many years ago, in fact, on a Thursday, Rabbi Asher and the teamster turned about and headed home for Yanov.
I wonder if you would mind stopping for a moment.
Do you want to stretch your legs?
Thank you, Teamster. It's just that it's time for afternoon prayers.
Well, don't let me stop you. Go right ahead.
You don't understand. I have to wash my hands.
I thought you said you have to recite your prayers.
Certainly, but I can't until I wash my hands first.
You can?
That's the commandment. The hands must be washed before prayers and before eating.
Well, all I can say is that it's a pretty peculiar commandment. I'll go through the forest right past the rock there. Head due west for about 150 yards, and you find a little brook. You can wash your hands there.
That's very kind of you, Teamster.
Don't mention it.
I'll be right back. Thank you.
Past the rock, due west through the forest, went Rabbi Asher. After all, he was a man not unaccustomed to forests. The great forest of the Talmud and the massive growth of decisions, opinions, prohibitions, injunctions, admonitions, maxims, parables, commentaries, and super commentaries. But unfortunately, this was a forest made of trees. And without too much difficulty, Rabbi Asher succeeded in getting himself hopelessly lost.
Teamster! Oh! Teamster!
There was no answer.
Ooh! Where are you?
Naturally, the teamster was exactly where the rabbi had left him, on the road a quarter of a mile away.
How long does it take a man to wash his hands anyway?
Ooh! Teamster! Can you hear me?
Obviously, he couldn't. For by very skillful blundering, Rabbi Asher had increased the distance to a good half mile. Well, being a thoughtful man, Rabbi Asher came to a thoughtful conclusion.
I believe I'm lost.
And you could say amen to it and not be guilty of an exaggeration. He was alone in the dense forest, a lonely place of dark silence and the smell of dead leaves. And the night descended, and an old man in a white beard and a black skull cap put his finger to the ancient earth.
I have no cause for complaint. Does the earth complain? We tread upon her, we dig her, we spit on her, but the earth accepts our abuse without murmur. Earth. Earth, thou art of better make than I, and yet here am I treading thee underfoot. But be patient for a little while. Soon I will lie below thee, thy humble servant.
He lay himself down on the floor of the forest. Near his face a fern bent softly. The incense of bark, the bark of 100,000 trees, suddenly mounted to nostrils familiar only with the musty smell of old books. Rabbi Asher felt a swelling in his throat, and he remembered the words of the blessings.
Blessed art thou who has kept us in life and preserved us and has enabled us to reach this season.
He whispered the night prayer, and an owl overhead did not complain. A bear padded out of a thicket and sat on blank haunches and watched him. And then, when Rabbi Asher finished his prayer, the bear departed. And it was night, and Rabbi Asher slept peacefully upon the earth, secure in the Lord. And then it was day. He found a nut under a tree. He found a berry on a bush, and he was no longer hungry. He went on this way, lost and yet not lost. How many days? How many nights? He was old and feebler than he thought, and his mind lost hold of its tight grasp of time. Rabbi Asher of Yanov forgot the day of the week. He was not aware that he had forgotten, but he had forgotten. He had confused the Sabbath day with an ordinary weekday. It was nearly a week later when the searching party found him, and it wasn't a minute too soon, for a cold wind had suddenly come down from the northwest.
You really don't have to carry me. I tell you, I'm not sick.
The pulse was very irregular. We must get him back quickly.
Yes, of course. I should save my strength for tomorrow evening.
Well, what's tomorrow evening?
The inauguration of the Sabbath, of course.
Tomorrow evening?
Of course.
Why, of course. Yes, of course, tomorrow evening. The inauguration of the Sabbath. Shh! Baruch, any improvement?
Yes, the fever has left him. The doctor says he'll be as good as new.
That's fine. And we can all tell Rabbi Asher that he's mixed up the days of the week. After all, if it's Thursday night, it can't be Friday night. And if it isn't Friday night, it's ridiculous for a man to begin the Sabbath. It's more than ridiculous. It's illegal.
Nathan, that's something we can't tell Rabbi Asher. Not now.
Why not? It's perfectly simple. Knock on the door, then open it, and then say, by the way, Rabbi Asher, today happens to be Thursday, not Friday. That's all there is to it.
Fine. There's the door. Go ahead, Nathan. Knock on it.
I'll do it right now.
Oh, no, wait a minute.
Don't be an idiot. You can't disturb him.
Why not?
Because in the first place, he's asleep. The doctor gave him a sleeping powder.
Well, I can wait, Baruch. I'll tell him when he wakes up.
No one is going to tell him. You understand me, Nathan?
What black plague has come over everyone? What's all this fuss and mystery and whispering? Why can't you tell him? A pious old man gets lost in the woods, period. He mixes up north and south, period. He mixes up the weekday and the Sabbath. It's understandable. He was confused. He was feverish. Now let's tell him he was confused.
We can't. If he kept last Friday as the Sabbath, then he didn't keep the Sabbath. He committed a transgression.
Oh, well, it was unintentional. God will forgive him.
I'm sure he will. But Rabbi Asher will not see it that way. All he's going to see is that he transgressed the Sabbath. Now think of it, Nathan. Rabbi Asher, a tzaddik, one of the holiest men ever born. He, Rabbi Asher, in the 80th year of his life, has violated the Sabbath. Now you're a brave man, Nathan. Go ahead. Knock on the door. Excuse me, I think I have a headache.
I think we all have.
There's only one thing to do. Rabbi Asher must think that the Sabbath actually begins tonight.
What are we going to do? Pretend that it is the Sabbath? Why doesn't somebody answer?
Something tells me we're cooking ourselves a very fancy kettle of fish.
Something tells me you're right. Now let's call a meeting in the synagogue while Rabbi Asher is asleep.
What do the women think?
The women leave thinking for the men. The women are already doing.
Doing what?
Making provision for the Sabbath evening meal. If Rabbi Asher thinks the Sabbath begins tonight, it's going to begin tonight.
And of course, there was no alternative. What alternative could there be? He was an old man. For 80 years, the Sabbath had been his delight. Could he be told in his 80th year that he, Rabbi Asher, even through a pardonable error, had broken the Sabbath? Could Hannah tell him?
The shock might kill him.
And they couldn't kill Rabbi Asher. He was their guide, their lantern, their teacher, their father. And beyond this, he was their friend. The congregation of Yonath made its decision, which Baruch stated rather concisely.
From now on, there will be two Sabbaths.
Rabbi Asher's Sabbath on Friday and the Lord's Sabbath on Saturday.
It was practically the beginning of the five-day week. Some extraordinary things immediately began to happen.
Who is it?
It's me, the teamster.
What do you want?
I brought you a load of hay you ordered.
I can't accept it now.
Why not?
It's Rabbi Asher's Sabbath. His window faces here.
All right, I'll bring it tomorrow.
No, tomorrow is my Sabbath. Bring it on Sunday.
How can I do that? Sunday is my Sabbath.
It was practically the beginning of a four-day week. But the trouble was only beginning. The men and the women and the children put on their best clothes on Friday and went to the synagogue to pretend to celebrate Rabbi Asher's Sabbath. And what was more natural at the conclusion of the Sabbath than to express the wish for a good week?
Ah, gute Woche, Hannah.
And to you, Nathan. Oh, gute Woche, Rabbi Asher.
The best week in the world, Hannah, to you and to all of us.
And then they all raced to their homes, all that is except Rabbi Asher. And secretly they began to usher in the Lord's Sabbath. And they didn't dare raise their voices.
Good Shabbos, Baruch.
Good Shabbos, Senator.
Good Shabbos, Nathan.
How much longer is this going to continue?
Shh. Well, all I can say is that it's a lucky thing he's 80 years old.
What a wicked thing to say. May Rabbi Asher live to be 120.
Amen.
Well, Nathan?
All right. Amen, if you insist on it. But the way we're going, 120 years can seem like a lifetime.
Trade was at a standstill 3 days each week. The liturgy was increasingly complicated. Sabbath clothes were beginning to wear out because of the additional wear. Something had to snap. It snapped.
Tamar, what did Rabbi Asher teach you in school today?
The ninth commandment. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor.
Hmm. Have your soup. It's getting cold.
Mama, don't you want to hear what else he said? He told us the truth is the funniest thing in the world. It's just as it is. If you make it bigger, or if you try to make it less, it stops being the truth.
You talk too much. Eat your soup.
And you know what he also said? The Sabbath without honesty and truth isn't the Sabbath.
All right, Tamar, all right. Have your supper. Well, what are you stopping for? If it needs salt, add salt.
It doesn't need salt.
What is it, Tamar?
I was thinking. Mama, are you a liar?
Understand me, Baruch. She asked the question without anger or disrespect, but she's going to ask it again. She's going to think about it. I'm her mother. I can't have her thinking things like that about me.
Anna, what do you propose to do?
Before worse things happen, we have to go to Rabbi Asher and tell him the truth.
It's too late for that now. It was a harmless lie at first, but it's grown too big. It seems lies generally do.
Then the lie will grow even bigger. It's already poisoned our Sabbath. It will poison the whole week and the month and the year, all our years. We have to go to him and ask him to forgive us our deception.
Will you go?
All right, I'll tell him.
Anna, the doctor says that he hasn't much longer to live. Any little shock might do it. Now, not to tell him, Anna, is like sparing his life.
Anna, if what we have done so far is wicked, then for the sake of his life, let us be wicked a little longer.
Well, no. No, it can't be. I can't accept that. I was once a child in his classroom, and he taught me that you could never bury a falsehood, but that truth springs up out of the ground. He's going to find out anyway. Let him find out from someone who loves him.
Then you're going now?
Yes, I am.
Wait until tomorrow. It's a cold night. He's warm in his bed now. His mind is untroubled. Do him a kindness, Hannah. Wait until tomorrow.
I see what we've done. We've been good, kindly, compassionate. And our goodness and our compassion have been at the expense of a lie we have forced on Rabbi Asher. Don't you see that's why I've got to tell him tomorrow?
It was a cold night, and the wind was now from the northeast, carrying frost on its breath and a promise of early snow. Tomorrow, Hannah would tell Rabbi Asher the truth about the Sabbath. But now she slept in her warm bed. All Yanov slept. All Yanov, so it seemed, except Rabbi Asher. Rabbi Asher stood in his nightshirt, his coat wrapped hastily around him, and he was pounding on the door of Rev Miller's house. Rev Miller, the wealthy merchant.
Who is it? What lunatic is out in the cold on such a night like this? Rabbi Asher.
Yes, Rev Miller. May I speak with you?
Of course, come in.
No, I want you to come out here.
I'm in my nightshirt. I'll catch my death of cold.
Put a coat on and come out here.
Oh, why can't we talk in the house where it's warm?
I'm an old man. Please, humor me. Throw your coat around your shoulders and come out here. I'll wait for you.
I don't understand it. Wait a second.
Shivered in the cold and waited for Red Miller.
Here I am, Rabbi. What is it?
Ooh, it's cold. You don't like the shoemaker, do you?
Is that why you called me out?
Answer my question. You don't like him, do you?
The shoemaker is a disgrace to the community. He keeps his family starving because he gambles away whatever he earns on dice playing and cards. Now, may I go back in the house?
Not yet. The shoemaker's wife has just had another baby.
Congratulations.
There isn't a stick of firewood left in that house. They've already burned all the wood I gave them. Rev Miller, are your teeth chattering?
I must say, Rabbi Asher, this is a fine time to ask me if my teeth are chattering. I'm freezing.
They're freezing, too. They are suffering from the same cold that chatters your teeth.
That's why you made me come into the cold?
Forgive me for doing it, but it was the only way to make you appreciate their situation.
It's all right, Rabbi Asher. I'll bring the wood to the shoemaker's house. I'll bring it myself. God bless you, Rabbi Asher. God bless you for reminding me that I am a man. Now, go home quickly before you catch pneumonia.
Hannah did not go to Rabbi Asher the next morning, for Reb Miller's story had awakened the householders at dawn. And when they heard it, they said,
"He is holy, and he makes us holy."
Hannah, can you tell a man like Rabbi Asher he has desecrated the Sabbath? Hannah, tell me the truth, can you?
So they continued with their pretense, And there were two Sabbaths in Yanov, and a Sunday in Yanov.
Listen, it's Sunday. Now listen good. What don't you hear?
Teamster, what are you driveling about? What do you mean, what don't I hear?
Bells, you fool. You don't hear the church bells. They're not ringing the church bells so that old Rabbi Asher will think yesterday was Sunday. And the bells rang yesterday because there was a wedding.
And so the plot against the Sabbath became the custom in Yanov, through the winter, into the spring, during the summer heat. And then, catastrophe.
Yom Kippur! We're fools. This year, Yom Kippur falls on a Sabbath day.
No. No, there must be some mistake.
No.
She's wrong, isn't she, Samuel? Tell her she's wrong.
She isn't wrong, and Baruch, we can't conceal it, because he himself will discover it.
Wait a minute. Wait. Don't get into a panic. We still have time.
You can't play tricks with time, Reb Miller.
Can't you, Hannah? Rabbi Asher played a trick with time. Why can't I?
It isn't possible.
That's because you are a woman of small faith. I invite you all to my house for Rabbi Asher's Sabbath. And Hannah, will you please be good enough to tell the doctor I should like to speak with him?
It was perfectly obvious. On Friday, which was Rabbi Asher's Sabbath, he came home from the synagogue, as usual, and then he went to Reb Miller's house, which was not usual. And the cantor of the synagogue sang the song of the Sabbath departure, which, of course, was part of the pretense. Rabbi Asher hummed the melody, which he always did. And then he stopped humming, because it was time to sip the usual glass of wine. However, there was a powder which the doctor had given Reb Miller, and now the powder was dissolved in Rabbi Asher's glass.
Reb Miller had worked. He's asleep.
They lifted him very tenderly and carried him to his bed. Then the doctor came in and chuckled.
His pulse rate is fine, sleeping like a baby.
The townspeople of Yanov rushed to the synagogue and openly welcomed the true Sabbath. Never in the whole history of Yanov had the portion of the law been read with such fervor as it was read on the following day. Ah, it was a Sabbath to remember. And Rabbi Asher lay in his bed and slept the sleep of the very old and the very good.
The Sabbath.
Lift him more carefully.
I've got him.
Now, seat him in the chair.
Carefully. Good.
Come here.
Yes, ma'am.
I want you to wake Rabbi Asher. If he asks you anything, just say, the Sabbath is over.
I'll be telling the truth, won't I?
Yes, Tamar.
Now, wait a minute. Cantor, go ahead.
Rabbi Asher, wake up. Your Sabbath is over.
And Rabbi Asher awoke. And seeing all the familiar faces about him, and hearing the cantor sing the familiar melody, sensibly concluded that he had dozed for a few seconds. And so a day that had been lost from the calendar of the week was found again.
Wake up! The Sabbath of Rabbi Asher is over.
That's a peculiar way to put it, child. You mustn't say Rabbi Asher's Sabbath. It's the Lord's Sabbath.
It's the same thing, Rabbi.
If you would like a copy of today's script, please send your name and address with 10 cents to cover the cost of postage and handling to the Jewish Theological Seminary of America, 3080 Broadway, New York 27, New York.
And now we take great pleasure in presenting Rabbi Harry Nelson of Congregation Rodef Sholem, Bridgeport, Connecticut, and director of the new seminary, Israel Institute. Rabbi Nelson. One moment, please.
The story that we have just heard might be described as a comedy of errors, but comedy is the wrong word. Simple piety describes it much better. There is the Sabbath, the very soul of Judaism, which transforms the whole atmosphere of the Jewish home into something pleasurable, soulful, and spiritual. It was a day ordained by God as an indispensable part of the whole cosmic pattern. It served as an inexhaustible fount of life-giving spiritual waters which revived and refreshed the Jewish soul. No wonder there was much ado about transgressing this holy day. In addition to the Sabbath, we are given an insight into other religious values. Throughout our tale, there is emphasized a high regard for the sensitivities and feelings of a human being. The community goes through great effort and hardship to spare Rabbi Asher humiliation and hurt. The rabbi himself, though old and sick, goes out on a cold winter night to summon a wealthy merchant outside that he might know the suffering of a family without firewood. All through our Bible and rabbinic literature runs the admonition, put yourself in another's place, the stranger, the poor, the orphan, the widow. Know their wants, their needs, have feeling and regard for them. Through the observance of the Sabbath, was man able to understand the real purpose for which he was created, and rise to the highest of his potential as a child of God. Through his genuine concern for his neighbor's plight, and for his welfare, was man able to truly manifest his belief in God. This great spiritual legacy was proclaimed by prophets and sages to the children of men as a pattern by which the good society might be achieved.
Thank you, Rabbi Nelson. Our eternal light drama today, The Broken Sabbath of Rabbi Asher, was written by Morton Wishengrad. The music was composed by Morris Momorsky and conducted by Milton Katims. Cantor Robert Siegel was the vocal soloist. Norman Rose was narrator, and Peter Capel was featured as Rabbi Asher. The production was under the direction of Edward King. Free time to present the Eternal Light is made available by the National Broadcasting Company and its affiliated independent stations. This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.